This portion of the show is brought to you by the Rodeo Steakhouse in Williams.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Angela here with me, watching the Middle East and the war drums, I guess, pounding louder and louder. These kind of things scare me because this is how it can blow out of, you know, get wider, get into a bigger, broader conflict. And on, I didn't even talk about this, but on Monday, Israel hit a Iranian consulate in Syria, and they hit a senior guy there and killed 13 people, you know, from Iran, obviously. And now Iran is vowing, you know, the payback and to strike
Israel.
Why
did they do that in Syria?
There was a terrorist, you know, general guy that they detected there.
Oh.
So they hit it to take out that guy, this main guy.
And
you know.
Did they?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they got him. They got him. But now, of course, now Iran is, you know, riling it up and they're ready to go. So the CIA is saying that it's, you know, imminent attack from Iran on Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, we don't know for sure, but I know the CIA is a little spotty as far as their record sometimes, right?
Yeah.
But there's also, like, Israel has scrambled GPS within a lot of people, you know, live in Israel, like, you know, look at their GPS and it shows they're, like, in Cairo or something. So they've scrambled that to try to
throw off
anything coming in and stuff like that. And then they warn their people to you can go, not automatically, but manually do your location for, like, warnings and stuff, you know, like, hey, there's incoming rockets coming or something like that. So there's all the, and then they canceled all the leave for any armed forces and then also called up a bunch of reservists. So definitely heating up, definitely watching that. So see what happens. And you always hope cooler heads prevail. But after watching that documentary on the Cold War recently, I was like, we've come so close to nuclear war over the decades that it was like one person that stopped it.
Yeah.
And you're like, thank God that one person was there.
So one cooler head.
One cooler head was there. It's like, no, I'm not doing this. Yeah. I'm not doing this. You know, and it's like, but what if the person wasn't there? And there's been a lot of those near misses. Talked about that with Rob on, when was he on the program? Monday, you know, about these scenarios. All right. I'd love to hear from you. I think I got a couple comments in here as well. I've also got a ton of updates, including a bunch of bills that Governor Hobbs has vetoed. Some more information on the deadline Monday of which candidates made it for some different races, some more local races, some stuff on electric cars, some stuff on minimum wage, and the right to disconnect. It's a California thing.
Of course.
You know, the right to disconnect from being texted or something.
Just
or
when you think they can't come, they come up with anything more crazy. They do.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Angela and I had some great pizza at Namarco's Pizza. That was really good. We went there for lunch.
Yeah.
And they have a special where you get a slice and a salad. And the salad is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes to show you their quality because they put all the good stuff in there.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's not just like you get the lettuce and that's it. Yeah. It's like croutons, tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers.
It's loaded.
It's good.
And it's big. So Angela and I, we get the special with the, like I said, the slice and the salad and the drink. I think it's $10 with plus $10 something, you know, total with tax. And then we ordered like an extra slice of pizza. So,
and share the salad
and share the salad because the salad's huge.
No, it came to like $13.
$13
total,
for us.
Something like
lunch.
That.
Now, if you're super hungry, you might need to get an extra slice or something, but if there's two of you, but I mean, it was good for me.
Yeah.
I couldn't even finish the salad. So go to Namarco's Pizza. Great lunch specials, you know, during the week, 11 to 2. And then also just stop on by their pizza for, you know, for dinner. Take the family out. Go to this weekend. Three locations in Flagstaff or order online at Namarco's, NIMARCOS, namarcospizza.com. Okay. So Governor Hobbs is getting a bunch of bills. She hasn't vetoed as many bills as last year, but it's close. She's keeping kind of
The pen still has some ink left, so we'll see.
Or the stamp. I watched her do a veto, and she didn't even sign it. She did a stamp. I was like, that is so lame. If you're going to do like the whole production on social media and put it on YouTube and make this, like, I got a video of this, Don't stamp it. You look dumb.
Like sign a stamp with the word veto over it?
Yeah, or her name or something, you know, however they do. I don't
know how they do it.
Maybe it is a veto stamp. Maybe that's what, but you don't see that. It's just like sign. Well, I don't know. I guess you don't sign a bill if it's, I would write veto. I wouldn't do a stamp. I think it looks weird, but maybe that was just me. Anyway,
well,
she makes a big...
it's happening so often that her hand is cramping up and she just needs the stamp instead of to sign it.
That's why, you know, the proposal that's out there, and I don't think it went anywhere, but there was a proposal to double the pay of the governor is probably necessary. The amount that she vetoes every year, she's probably got carpal tunnel. Luckily, she's got good medical coverage, right? I mean, that's got to hurt. I mean, this is hard work being a politician. I mean, you people out there, like, you know, keeping the lights on or, you know, keeping our forest clear by thinning it or delivering stuff or picking up the trash. You guys, you don't know how hard it is. I mean, how hard they've got to work and how physically draining it can be to, you know, sign bills, veto bills. It's tough. This is tough work. That's why they get paid so much. And that's why they're so special. And you're not. Me too. I'm not special either. You know, I mean, I don't work as hard as them.
No.
Not even close. Anyway, she's vetoed a bunch of bills. Today she vetoed a bill by Senator John Kavanaugh, which it would have made it a class 6 felony to block a freeway or a bridge or a tunnel while protesting. And you know, everybody has the right to protest, right? You have a First Amendment right, and that's a very important thing. It was number one, right? And to petition your government. But you don't have a right to make everybody's life a living hell.
Yeah.
You know, and to block an entire freeway and cause potential, you know, what if an ambulance has to go by?
Well, exactly. Or
what if you name it?
Yeah, there could be 100 other reasons.
Yeah, thousands.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think this was a good bill. And obviously the legislature did, too. Probably all the Republicans and none of the Democrats. That's just a guess.
So she vetoed it. So essentially she's encouraging people to block the highway. Yeah, just go ahead and block the highway.
I guess. I mean, I think there's probably some state law in there already. Probably like misdemeanor or something, you know, slap on the wrist type stuff. But this would have been like, you know, a presumptive sentence of a year in state prison. That might be a little hefty. But I think if someone goes to prison for even a few weeks or something like that, where they do something really stupid that totally clogs up society, maybe it'd be a prevent them from doing it and then go protest in the appropriate place, you know, go into a field somewhere, go in front of city hall, go in front of the legislature, you know, things like that. Don't be an idiot. I mean, what's next? Drop, blocking airports. You're going to go on a runway.
Right.
Right. I mean, it's insanity. So she vetoed that. She says, quote, recognizing the sanctity of constitutionally protected rights, it is critical that we approach these matters with precision to avoid infringing on Arizonans' freedoms. So, I don't know, freedom to block the freeway, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right? I mean,
most people aren't going to do that crazy, you know, like if they're holding signs on a sidewalk and someone comes by with a wheelchair or something that they need the sidewalk, they're going to move, you know,
most of
the time. But,
I hope so. I hope we're still at that point in society.
Most
but
people are not going to do that, but
most
you'll
people
get the radical ones that do occasionally. And
yeah. You know, most people are nice. I'm out there and, you know, you go to a store, you run into people and most people are polite. I don't know their political persuasion or anything. I think we get wrapped up and everybody just hates each other. But my, you know, encounters out there is except for driving. I mean, that's become, you know, Mad Max and generally not nice. But, you know, when you interact with people, I don't know, maybe if we're all carrying our like political logos, maybe it'd be different. Mm-hmm. Like if you go out there with the, you know, wearing the red or the blue bandana or something, right? But generally, yeah, I think people would move if someone came by with a wheelchair, I would hope, right? Okay, another one that's Governor Hobbs vetoed is what I'd call the food stamp bill or the SNAP bill, because nobody calls it food stamp, I guess, besides me, where you actually physically had to tear off the stamps while you're in line.
I remember those.
It's totally different. So this, there was a bill proposed by, don't know where it went. I think it was a good bill though, so I'd like to give him credit, but I can't find it. But basically that if you were able-bodied and you're using the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, food stamps, it would bar the Arizona Department of Economic Security from applying for work requirement waivers on behalf of able-bodied workers. So basically you have to, if you're the age of 18 to 60, So pretty much working age, you would have to at least get
without
out there.
Some kind of disability.
Exactly. There were exemptions.
Yeah.
But you would have to be employed at least 30 hours per week, which we used to call that part-time.
Yeah.
But now I think that might be actually full-time. I'm not sure. Or participate in work training programs. So you'd have to, you know, go do something mm-hmm. to... I think you should, you know, here's what I think. If you are able-bodied and you are 18 to 60, I would expand it. If you're getting any form of government assistance, there should be, if maybe we have a short-term thing where it's just a couple months to get back on your feet, because mm-hmm. you should never have to rely on the government. We need to get away from that. It's driving the country broke, among many other things. But there should be not only some kind of work thing, but also some kind of, I don't know, some kind of payback where at least if you're not working, you're doing some kind of community service or something,
mm-hmm.
right? Let's just say yeah. you're not working. So why didn't Hobbs come back and say, well, okay, no, you don't need to work 30 hours per week, but you know, can you do 1 hour a week of something,
right.
sorting books at the library, just something yeah. if you're yeah. able-bodied? That frustrates me because you should yeah. be out there and trying to get off of this thing. As quickly as possible. More than 900,000 Arizonans are currently enrolled in these programs. And
well,
I think, as you pointed out,
yeah,
1 in 8 or something.
Or like you said, okay, a couple of months to get back on your feet, but then we're going to scale it back.
Yeah, scale back.
You know,
yeah.
every month, 10% less or whatever it is
yeah.
that we could all agree on as a way to, you know, wean people off of it.
Yeah. I have no problem with helping people out and getting to that point. But the problem is if you let the government do it as we have, and then it becomes, the scale keeps moving, the goalpost keeps moving, and next thing you know, it's multi-generational welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And how can the next generation be non-able-bodied? And then
yeah.
they're never off of it. So I think this was a good bill. She obviously did not, and she vetoed it, you know, just requiring people to do the minimum 30 hours per week or getting in some kind of work program. But it had the exclusions. It had, like you said, if you're disabled or something, or if you're over 60, there's still food stamp supplemental care for kids, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like it was being cut out completely. It was just saying, hey, this is get to work.
Yeah.
There's
no reason why you can't work to earn a wage and get off of these programs.
Yeah, there's no reason, especially now. Look, I was at a big box store today. I had to wait 15 minutes, and you'll know which store this is, obviously. I had to wait 15 to 20 minutes. I can't remember exactly because I was just like starting to zone out. I was standing there falling asleep, right? To get wire, you know, electrical wire, because mm-hmm. they are locking this stuff up now because people were leaving. With the higher copper prices, people melting them down. They were just walking out of the store. So I get why they locked it up and they've caged all this stuff. I've covered this before. But I'm like, if you're going to do this, you got to have, because I don't think I'm going back to buy wire from you.
Yeah.
So you got to have the employees. And obviously they don't. Some guy finally got to me, but I get it. He was helping 5 other people in front of me because they do not have the staff that they used to. Don't know why. I can only presume that it's because we're in the labor shortage issues
yeah.
and the wages, and there aren't as many people who want a job, got a job.
Right.
Right. And the rest have dropped off.
Well, I've noticed
the workforce.
A different box store that has a lot of the self checkout.
Yeah.
And they used to have like 10 of them open.
10 of the self checkout?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was never really much of a line. I mean, maybe there'd be one person in front of you. And the last 2-3 times I've gone, there's like 2 open.
2 self checkout?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's the whole point of the self checkout.
I know.
Just
and then they have
tons
all
of
these other
open.
Ones with the red light on it, meaning that it's not open, it's not on. And I can only think that this because there's only like one person monitoring, and they can only monitor so many.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah,
because all I know is like then it just causes lines, and now I'm like getting flashbacks to the old, you know, the person scanning it.
Beep,
and you'd wait for
beep.
4 people behind you,
yeah.
or in front of you, rather. And you'd have to just, like, sit and pick up a magazine and read while you're waiting.
Were we better off, though, when you had to wait in line for a few minutes and practice a little bit of patience? Because that used to be the norm just not that long ago, 10 years ago,
well,
or
maybe,
less.
Well, maybe, but that way is definitely, that person scanning it and then, like, bagging it right there is faster than the person doing it, I think.
The self-checkout.
Yeah, unless you have 2 items. But if you have a cart full of stuff.
But I'm saying we've lost our patience. You know, we used to be able to stand in the line and maybe you'd have a conversation with someone next to you.
Yeah.
And then cell phones came along and then all of a sudden you never talk to anyone. You at least have time to do your email while you're standing in line waiting for someone to check you out.
Yeah.
Or maybe you would all of a sudden be, you know, buying a Snickers bar or something because you're standing there. Yeah. But you're there for like 10 minutes and then someone was writing a check. Remember those days?
Yeah.
Like,
and they're getting their ID out.
And you're like, oh no. Now the check came out after you just hand scanned all, or do you remember when before this was?
Yeah.
I barely remember it as a kid, but where they'd enter in.
Yeah.
You know, the prices and stuff like that. But no, I guess it's better. I like the self checkout lines because, I take a lot more time to scan everything, make sure I'm not getting, because a couple times getting double charged, triple. One time I had all those hundreds of extra charges.
Right. It's supposed to be like 30 and they charge you 300.
Yeah. And I was like, what is this? After I get home.
Yeah.
And then I had to go back like a week later. And then they had to roll the footage because they didn't believe me. I was like, no, I did not buy 300 joist hangers. Did you even have that many in stock at the time? Anyway,
my point is that I've noticed it in other stores too with. The only thing I can come up with is it's not that all these self-checkout lanes are broken. It's they're not opening them for a reason.
It's interesting. Because I thought at the big box store you're talking about that there was like one area where there was like 12 of those checkouts. The big area.
Yeah.
And there's like one person watching all those.
Yeah.
Then you have the other ones that are basically they took the existing straight lines and they just threw the machines in there. Yeah. So maybe they don't have enough people. Maybe the machines are broken and there ain't the people to repair them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's not somebody in the back.
I just have a hard time believing like 15 out of 20 are broken at the same time.
So what's going on there? You know, we're supposed to be getting more convenient and
And quicker to, and taking the load off them by checking yourself out.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile,
we don't even get a discount. We got increased prices.
Yeah.
Right.
And they still can't have enough stuff.
Yeah. Remember when you used to go to the store and it was like someone checked you out and then there was someone at the end bagging it, like at the grocery stores.
Yeah.
And that was usually a job that maybe a kid had or maybe, someone with disabilities. They used to do that. I don't see that as much anymore because the costs are so high and the politicians in their infinite wisdom didn't write in the exclusions. You know, to
for
say
a lower wage for certain cases.
That was a perfect scenario where there are scenarios where there should be lower wages because the company is more or less helping society out and trying to give someone a leg up, someone who maybe, you know, wouldn't
couldn't
have that
otherwise.
Position.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they got rid of all that because they said, oh, they're going to be taken advantage of. Oh, it's like, you know, they'll be like slave labor type mentality is what they get, where people are actually being employed. That maybe A, didn't have the opportunity or B, didn't have the ability, quite frankly. So these companies are taking in. They've killed all that.
Yeah. And first time jobs for
people
like in high school or, you know, teenagers at some point. They all want to go get a job at some point and earn money for gas or whatever. And it's like they can't even get a bagging job anymore or.
No. You just don't see it.
Yeah.
See it anymore. So anyway, she vetoed the food stamp bill that you got to work. She also vetoed Governor Hobbs a bill or more of a it was a proposal by Representative Lupe Diaz, Republican out of Benson, to ban local governments from adopting or enforcing any sort of guaranteed income programs. So, and this had passed the legislature, HB 2375, went to her desk. She did the veto stamp. She should employ someone
for her
own money and have somebody stamp it for her, right? But basically, you've been seeing some cities, this has happened in California and other places, where the city has instituted a guaranteed minimum income where they would send people $1,000 a month and no strings attached. Just here's $1,000. Do as you wish. Mm-hmm. You know, here you go. So what Diaz was trying to do was stop that from local communities enacting that.
Right.
And wasting our tax dollars.
Well, and I think they did it in somewhere in California in the like maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And it was like a massive failure.
Oh, did they failure because.
They didn't bring people out of poverty any more than they were before. It didn't help their situation at all.
Yeah. So in their eyes, a success because they just handed out money.
Well, yeah, but
in practical eyes, it didn't do what they were hoping. No, of course it will never.
Yeah.
It will never.
Or it didn't do what they were hoping, but it didn't do what they said.
Yeah.
it was intended for, which is to help the people that
and get
are
them,
struggling, that don't have enough money.
And get them back on their feet and things. Yeah. I bet you if you went back to the origins, and this stuff's been so around so long, who the heck knows what was originally said? I'm sure you could dig and find it. But just going back to even the Roosevelt administration about, oh, this program here is just for this, to help people in the short time. And, you know, we just want to give people a leg up. It was probably sold like that. So this is like the income tax in 1913, I believe it was, you know, where it's just going to be for the rich, you know, just they're going to be taxed maybe 1, 2, 3, maybe the highest rate would be, I think it was 4 or 5%. It's like, it's just once it's in there, it loses its original intent.
Yeah.
And then it just becomes normal. Yeah. So there you go. That was, that one's gone. So who knows? Your city could have a guaranteed minimum income for some people. Hobbs also vetoed an anti-communism course for high school students. This was from Speaker Ben Thoma. I think he came on the program, talked about it. I thought that was Representative Wynn's initiative out of LD1, out of Prescott area. Remember, he came on the program. He escaped from Vietnam. His family did. And he's like, oh, yeah, we need to teach the horrors of communism, right? And it would require that any American government course, an American government course would be required for high school graduation. And it was, I can see why she required, or why she vetoed this anti-communism course for Arizona high school as you know, requirement to get out of high school, because it was long. I mean, it was a big commitment, right? I mean, and kids don't have a lot of time. I mean, it's really hard to fit all this in, and you're talking over, how long do you go to high school generally? 4 years. I mean, some do the 5 or 6 generally. Year program. Some do a 5 or 6 year program, but
some do it in less too.
But let's just say you're, you know, at least average, and you're doing the 4 year high school program. How do you fit all this in? Because the course required 45 minutes of instruction. Mm. You know, that's a lot to teach the history of communism.
That's just too much.
Couldn't fit that in. I get why she did that, and I understand. I mean, I understand. So that's gone. But she did do this. I will give her credit for this. She will proclaim, or whatever these exalted ones do. She might even actually have to sign this one. She will proclaim that November 7th is Victims of Communism Day. So she will give it a day, which I don't even like days anymore. You know?
Yeah, you guys were talking about that the other day and how it's just so watered down that no one even knows it anymore anyway.
Yeah.
Because if you look up any random day on one of those things, there's like 10 different things. It's Sangria Day and it's Taco Day or whatever, you know, Cheeto Day or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I pulled it up here. November 7th is, it's national, it's National Retinol Day. It's also National Cashback Day. That's good. National Canine Lymphoma Awareness Day. Oh my. National Bittersweet Chocolate with Almonds Day.
Yeah.
National Men Make Dinner Day.
Bookmark that, baby.
And now apparently, at least in Arizona, because this is just like, this is national stuff. This isn't state stuff too. So imagine all the state things. So now it's also,
and the city has their own
Victims
too,
of Communism Day. So you got to fit that in when you're like, you know, working through all the things. Do you celebrate victims of, not celebrate, but honor victims, remember Victims of Communism Day? Or are you a National Cashback Day? Or are you a National Canine Lymphoma Awareness Day?
No one does any of them, because
we're doing it. And or are you a Bittersweet Chocolate with Almonds Day kind of person? I don't know. It's tough. So many choices out there. All right. Hey, if you get a rock chip in your windshield, probably from banging your head against the windshield, right? Call Diamond Auto Glass first. They're going to take really good care of you, like they've done for my family for years. And Angela, you got to get that, what is that car called? That Mini.
The Mini?
In there. It's not a rock chip anymore. You blew it. It's now a crack.
Oh, yeah.
It's a whole crack, and it's a whole new windshield replacement. And I bet you it's half the size of the Tahoe. I bet you it's double the price, because it's a Mini, so it costs more. Anyway, Diamond Auto Glass will take care of you, just like they're going to take care of our windshield here coming up pretty soon. Call them up, 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. Also, thanks to Kim Dawson for being a longtime sponsor on the program. Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. If you need to get refinancing, first-time home buyer, or if you're kind of having credit card trouble, you know, that got jacked up so much because Bidenomics and all that, and the prices of what it costs to put that food in that grocery cart now is like doubled. It's crazy. Maybe you can get a refinance and get all of that, get rid of that credit card debt, put it into a home loan. Why don't you call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans, 928-310-6458, 928-310-6458, or go to novahomeloans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, NLS 697411, Nova Home Loans, NLS 3087, BK number 090242, Equal Housing Opportunity, subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. If you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
You're listening to The Jeff Orbit Show.
This portion of the show is brought to you by ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. Check out their great specials up there. Get your tile and carpets clean. ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. Welcome back. Jeff Orbit's here. Angela's here with me. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Just a quick one here. This is a lot of people use this trail, Fat Man's Loop, the trailhead. Mm-hmm. That one on 89 right there across from the mall. I guess they're closing that parking lot. That's Monday, April 8th. So if you want to hike up there, what is
for
that?
How long?
Till June. They're making it into 50 cars parking spot. Every time I go in there, it's like over.
It's packed.
Flowing. You know, all these places have become like that.
Yeah. Well, that one. I mean, it's that good. One also, people are out. That trailhead breaks off, branches off, and goes to the top of Mount Eldon.
Eldon Lookout, yeah.
So you get people doing the loop and the Eldon Lookout.
That's a tough hike because it's quick. It's a steep climb.
Oh, yeah. It's like a 2.5 miles, and I think it's like 2,000 feet in elevation gain.
Yeah, you go 7 to 2,400
feet, maybe.
Yeah, 2,400, yeah. Around that. Yeah, I mean, that's
pretty
a quick
steep.
One. If you want to get a good workout, there you go. I need to start doing that like every day.
Yeah.
Right?
Even Fat Man's Loop isn't bad. It goes up about halfway or so up Eldon and then down.
I did walk to the mailbox here before this show, so that was good.
Yeah, that's a good like 20 feet or so.
Yeah, there's a lot of junk in there, and then I carry it. I'm strong. It was a lot of weight. It's a lot of stuff.
Well,
in there.
It is probably good in the long run, and I hope they have it done by June because it's super popular in the summer.
Yeah, that thing gets packed. Let's see. What did gold and silver do? It was a little down today. Only like 3 cents. It went up like a buck yesterday, silver. And gold's record high is 2,300. Still not record high, though, if you adjust it for inflation. You know, record of like 1980. It'd have to be in the 3,000s or something like that. Silver, much higher if you adjust it for inflation and the peaks that it's had in the past. We've been buying physical gold and silver for years. We buy physical gold and silver from Justin and his great family-run company at Desert Gold Exchange right here in Arizona. They do a great job. All kinds of different options for you, purchasing options as far as what types of bullion. They just deal exclusively in physical gold and silver. Why don't you give them a call? Mention the Jeff Orbit Show. Get a free investor's kit. Plus, they're going to treat you really, really good. They're going to treat you like gold. 888-852-4343. That's 888-852-4343. Go to desertgoldexchange.com. Let's see. Ford is delaying. They had plans to put out an all-electric. You know, that was going to be the model. No gas or diesel version or hybrid or anything like that. They're going to do an all-electric SUV, so a bigger, like third row, you know, larger vehicle. As you know, a lot of these car companies have canceled or scaled back or delayed their investment into all electric vehicles because people don't want to spend that kind of money. People don't want them. The people have got them, and you're gonna see growth in this market, but it's not gonna be like it was. That's why I think yesterday you were talking about. Was that yesterday? Tesla?
Mm-hmm.
And how they're having trouble?
Yeah, they're like 8% down over the last year or something. It was like the slowest quarter in a year.
Yeah, people aren't buying them. Do you see it? I mean, we see some Teslas. You see a Rivian once in a while. You see some other brands.
Yeah.
You know, you see a lot of hybrids, though. And I said this a long time ago. I said, the way to go is what Toyota's been doing. which is right. the hybrids. And then Toyota finally, just this last year, probably due to political pressure, they were one of the last ones, and they were like, oh, we'll go all electric too, you know? But nobody's doing it now. I think it's this. There was a plan for a lot of these companies were talking like by 2030, 35, you know, just not too far off. Yeah. They were going to be, we're going to be all electric because Biden's pushing it.
Well, and then they just say that, and they know that they can move the goalposts when they want to. Yeah. So we'll say by 2030 and we'll try. But then when it doesn't happen, they'll just push it back and nothing will happen.
Yeah, but they even lost, they've lost money, though. They've lost billions in these EV divisions. Yeah,
for sure. But I'm just saying that they can move that date at any time, and they will.
Had they not had the gas divisions, the gas, regular vehicles that we've had for, a century, they would have gone broke.
Oh, for sure.
Or the government would have bailed them out, of course.
But yeah, right.
Nobody can go broke.
Well, we've been saying for a long time, like, what is so bad about the hybrids? Why didn't we just do that as an intermediate step?
Yeah.
Why didn't more companies jump on board with that? Or why wasn't there political pressure there to encourage the hybrids? They recharge their batteries on their own. And yes, those have to get replaced also. But you don't need the infrastructure with the charging stations and the plugs in your garage and all that other stuff.
Or as much battery.
Right.
You know, they're much
smaller. And they get, like, say, a Prius or something like that. It's probably a good 60 miles a gallon. So you're saving gas and you're not using electricity. And you're not requiring the infrastructure that the ones that need the charging do now.
Yeah, they're self-charging.
And when you get low on gas, you just go fill up, and in 5 minutes, you're back on the road. Have those, like, range anxiety they keep talking about.
Exactly. You're not stopping somewhere at a gas station that has charging places, and people are zipping in, and they're filling their tank up in 3 minutes.
I saw the ones at Walmart the other day.
Sitting there for 20 minutes.
They got three slots or whatever. They get prime real estate in the parking lot. And, family of four or five, they're just sitting there waiting.
Yeah.
Just kind of sitting on the curb next to their car that's getting charged.
That's a sign right there, right? It's like,
they couldn't even shop in Walmart long enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine if you get these for what they are, but take them for what they are. But if you're sitting in front of the big box store, Walmart, that imports things from all over the world, charging your EV that has batteries dug up, materials, it just... Come on, let's get real here. And I think that Ford is now getting a little more real. They are instead pushing for hybrids on all models by 2030. Mm. So I guess they're
so maybe they're finally admitting the
we're not
negatives
there yet.
The problems with expecting people to go all electric too fast before things are ready.
And this was a CNBC article. The shift in EV plans is the latest for Ford and the entire automotive industry, as adoption has been slower than many expected. Why? How did you not expect this? Everybody could look at this and see that had half a brain. This was like when we were 2 months into COVID. Mm-hmm. That kind of like common sense, street sense. Like, really? I'm not seeing the dead bodies everywhere that you were talking about, right?
And anyway. Not everyone can go out and buy an EV. And there's not the infrastructure to handle that. Mm-hmm. There's not enough electricity being made and generated to handle all that.
And there's not the raw materials out there.
But yet they still kept pushing.
That's because they've been in government all their life.
Yeah.
That's all they know is, I just sign. It's like Hobbes down there.
Yeah.
I just sign and I just veto and that's all I do. I don't understand any of this. Mm-hmm. How could you understand that? You've been in government your whole life. I'm sorry. And there's lots of people in government do fine work, but the people on the top, there's lots of positions that should be eliminated, right?
Right.
I mean, I'd say half of the positions on the federal side probably could go away right now.
Yeah, right.
And our country would probably go on just fine. But
I was just reading
these
a thing
big thinkers
the other day about the EV batteries, the fires.
Yeah.
Because how they can't just pour water in it like they can a regular car battery that they douse with water.
Yeah, it's chemical fire.
Yeah. So then they just they've decided we'll just let it burn out because it's the least dangerous thing to do, but then it can flare back up even weeks later.
It's a gift that keeps giving.
Yeah. It'll look like it's out. And then 2 weeks later it could flare back up.
Well, they were trying things like dumpsters, like throwing them in the
burying it.
Yeah. Burying it.
Yeah.
It's like, if you got to bury something, that's bad. I mean, that's like, really? It's like, what is it? Nuclear waste? like kind of bury my burning car. I mean, a good old gas car just burns for a while and then it explodes and then you're good.
Yeah.
You know, and you see it go off the hill in the movies. They always explode and you're like, oh, would that really happen? I've always wanted to just jump a car off the cliff. Not in it. Not in it. Just
you
to
bail
see
just before.
Yeah. You know,
you
they
cling to the edge
they
of the
roll
cliff.
Out and then they get out and they're just fine. And I'm like, I mean, if I trip and fall on the ground, I'm in pain. It's like these people are rolling out the door at 60 miles an hour before the cliff. Yeah. Right. Anyway. Okay. So we're going to delay the electric thing for a little while. That's good. Mm. I think that's good for Western civilization.
It's good for them to acknowledge.
It's good that for them to acknowledge that
what they were doing is
whoa,
not
here,
working.
Let's slow down here a little bit. I got an email from Brian. Talkwithjeff@icloud.com. You send me an email. Talk with him. Holding off on the phone number. I've been getting some interesting phone calls, and I'm just like, oh. Yeah, Angela's like, what is
I haven't heard those. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. And by the way, I don't think. No, let me rephrase that. The world is not ending on April 8th.
Oh,
you
good.
Heard it here first. The world is not ending on April 8th.
Okay. I was losing sleep over that. So yes. I'm glad you told me that. It's good.
Unless, you know, the Middle East erupts and some idiot, you know, somewhere pushes the button and it escalates real quick. I guess the world could end April 8th. So maybe the timing is right. But there's
not
this,
for the reasons they
not
say.
Not for the reasons. You know, you got this eclipse going on where part of the world, a sliver of the world is going to be, you know, there's going to be an
somewhat
eclipse.
Dark.
Somewhat dark for somewhere between 1 to 3 minutes during the day.
Yeah.
And the rest, the vast majority of the rest of the world won't even notice it, right? And maybe you will a little bit in northern Arizona. By the way, I think it's going to be more southern Arizona that'll see it.
And in the eastern states.
Texas and parts of Mexico.
Up the Midwest.
So I guess it's possible that this is, I mean, we're getting back to like mysticism here. Like everybody's thinking like, oh, it's ending. April 8th, it's ending. I mean, there's all these things going on. I guarantee you that this show will be happening because the eclipse is earlier in the day, April 8th, Monday. I guarantee you we'll be on air. And if we're not, well, then it doesn't matter because we'll be gone. So you won't be able to call me out on being wrong on that one, right?
Right.
My last 3 seconds will be like, oh, they were right. I've seen this before where there's some kind of celestial event.
Well, there was an eclipse
event.
Last like 6 months ago or a year ago.
The world's not ending April 8th, and there's not some conspiracy on this one. I just want
to
get that.
To be
it just
when
happens.
Things line up just right.
This is like we're getting back to like the old times where, you know, when something happened up in the sky, we're like, the gods are right? I mean, where people just started making stuff up about,
to explain it somehow.
Explain it somehow.
Back then, yeah.
Now, if we start getting pestilence and earthquakes, and well, I guess there was just a big earthquake in Taiwan.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe the world is ending April 8th. Maybe I should take that. Let's knock on wood just to cover our bases here. All right. Anyway, Brian wrote, the Abortion Act people collected over 500,000 signatures. We're in trouble. God bless you. God bless you, Brian.
Yeah, there's really nothing else you can say about that.
We're
in trouble.
Let's just leave it at that. We're in trouble. April 8th can't come quick enough. No. They needed 300 and something thousand.
Mm-hmm.
They've got 500 plus thousand signatures already in Arizona. The deadline's not till July or June or July or something like that. I think Brian just nailed it. We're in trouble. The fact that that many people are willing to sign this.
I kind of wish that I had been asked to sign that just so I could say no, but I never got asked.
This is the one that will, it extends it to, do you remember what I was talking about?
I think 23 the other day or 24, you said 24.
24
weeks
from the current ban is it 12 or 16?
Or maybe 15.
I apologize. Can't remember all these numbers. Your brain gets fried after a while, but they're basically almost doubling the time, but there's an exclusion in there about if you get a note from a doctor or some kind of medical professional, air quotes here. It says you are at risk as a woman, health-wise or also mental, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That you could do it later term.
I mean, basically,
you
like,
can get that.
That opens the door for anyone to,
late term.
They'll find someone to do what they want. So if they, for whatever reason, cannot make up their mind before the deadline, which I still find unfathomable
12 weeks,
to begin
16
with.
16 weeks, okay.
But if you can't, well, then I could find someone to write me the doctor's note and And then they won't, you know, then the people can do it without fear of, you know, jail or something.
Well, I think many people were, you know, on that side, we're not happy with the 12-week ban or the 16-week ban that's been happening in the country. But then there's also many conservative people that don't want abortion at all that weren't happy either. But a lot of them, after Roe v. Wade happened and it turned back to the states, said, well, I'll just swallow this and I'm just going to deal with this for now, the 12-week thing. Mm-hmm. But that's still not good enough for them.
No.
For the pro-abortion
folks.
That's what
I don't understand. It's like
a lot of anti-abortion people are like, I don't like it, but I'm not going to, you know, if this is where we can get to right now, this way, but it's not good enough for the pro-abortion side. It's, we got to double it. We got to make it. So, again, I'm sorry, Brian, was it? We're in trouble. I think you summed it up just right there.
Yeah.
All right. Jot down this number, put it in your phone, save it. And it's for Gettles High Desert Mechanical. They've been servicing HVAC units, heating, cooling, and they also do plumbing throughout central and northern Arizona for decades. Gettles High Desert Mechanical can get your unit serviced and servicing these like once a year, getting them checked, cleaned, test the CO, all that. Have them come in and do that. But save the number when it goes out, they can get out there and fix it. Also, they do, you know, new construction, retrofitting, custom design, all of that. Call them up. Gettles High Desert Mechanical, 928-567-2200. 928-567-2200. Or go to Gettles, G-O-E-T-T-L-S, G-O-E-T-T-L-S, GettlesHDM.com. Back in a minute. If you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is The Jeff Horvitz Show.
Get some great sliders right now at Sportsman's Bar and Grill, voted best sports bar in Flagstaff many years in a row. They got all the TVs for all your sports action. Plus, easy to find just north of downtown, right there in the Bash's Shopping Center. Plenty of parking there. They got great drink specials always going on. Plus, during the week, you know, Monday through Thursday, they've got these great specials, including Taco Tuesday, Wing Wednesday. And don't forget about their $4 menu. Always something great on their $4 menu at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. Okay, more to come. I want to get to this right to disconnect bill. This is, you know, that you, your boss can't bother you, basically. It's a California thing. California also went to $20 an hour. We're going to talk more about minimum wage and the push to get to $20 an hour in Arizona. I want to remind you about a Sedona signing event going on for an issue they got going on down there with that homeless camp. So we'll talk about that. And another FAA issue, another flight near miss. I'll tell you about it when we come back. The information provided on the Jeff Horvitz Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up The Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is The Jeff Horvitz Show.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Eric and Lisa Boatner at Allstate Insurance Agency in Flagstaff.
This is The Jeff Horvitz Show.
Just to reiterate and follow up on what I said last hour about April 8th, 2024. Right? That's the day. That's the eclipse. 4,
yes.
8, 24. I don't think the world's going to end. And I know some people have sent me and told me about all these weird things that are going to happen. There could be, very well could be a bunch of weird cultish stuff because people get, throughout time, have done, and I think that's what I was trying to say last hour. There's been all kind of weird things with celestial events, right?
Right.
Maybe people are going to be hanging out at Stonehenge or something, right?
Yeah.
Which we never found. I think that's a conspiracy. I don't think that place exists because we tried to get there, but we did rent a car. And that was a mistake because they drive on the wrong side of the road in England, right?
And this
right?
was before GPS.
Oh, no GPS. And nobody knew where it was. It's like, we couldn't have been 10 miles from the thing. And we're like, where's Stonehenge? It's like someone asking
it's
you.
It's like, no signs.
They come to Flagstaff and say, where's Sunset Crater, right?
Or where's the Grand Canyon?
Where's the Grand Canyon? Yeah. Something simple. And you're like, how do these people not know that? Right?
Well, and so the classic answer we got one time was, well, before the next roundabout, you turn here. And we were like, when the next roundabout is so that we can turn before it.
It's like Funny Farm. You know where the old Johnson barn used to be? You know, it's like,
Go past.
But okay, there could be weird stuff going on because, you know, you got, look, what was that in early 2000? You had that suicide cult over was it the Hale-Bopp comet or something, you know, and they all committed suicide. I mean, weird people do weird stuff, man. Mm-hmm. So I don't doubt that people will be doing weird stuff, but it's not going to be the end of the world unless it's some kind of man caused, you know, nuclear annihilation or something crazy that happens because of our own stupidity. If the world is going to end, it actually would be today because it's 4/4/24, and that just sounds a lot cooler. So I'm sure there's something going on somewhere, right?
Well, plus April 8th is Olivia's birthday.
Oh yeah, well, we've got,
and so she couldn't, begin life and. And on the same day.
This is that gruesome. This just turned dark.
Yeah. No.
No, we don't do that. Hey, I want to remind you that tomorrow is April 5th, 5/8/24. That means nothing. But what it does mean that they're going to have a signing event, and I had on Dr. Help me out here, Noonan. Yeah, sorry about that, Dr. Noonan, if I got that wrong. I hope he's not listening right now. I just totally butchered that one. Anyway, he is the one that is leading the charge against this homeless encampment down there that they did at that city park, the $20-plus million park.
Yeah, by the way, I looked up where that is on the map because I did not know. And if anyone is familiar with Sedona, it is in the very far west end by the high school.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it's not on the south side of 89. Is that 89?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like on the other side of the street, but kind of directly across the street from the high school.
Okay.
Across the highway.
There. Yeah, pretty prime spot.
Yeah, and that's basically like the end of Sedona. You know, after you hit that area, there's nothing left.
To Cottonwood there.
At that point. It seems like prime. Like, why?
It is prime. That's why it's $20-plus million for the city to buy that as a cultural park. And I guess it's going to have some culture. I mean, there might be really good people using this park and it might all be fine, but I've also seen the culture of drug use in some of these encampments. And I don't think it would go the way of the zone with, you know, prostitution and all that. I mean, am I being way too cynical here? I just, the experiences have not been good. And it was Dr. Bill Noonan who was on, and he had fled. He's a refugee from Portland, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I've dealt with this and I moved to Sedona. And I was like, I'm sorry. You hit the wrong part of Yavapai County. Yeah. You needed to go a little more south to avoid the craziness, you know, and there you go.
But still, even this is a little much for Sedona.
This is, people are sick of this crap.
We always laughed at the building code and how the Golden Archers are now the turquoise arches.
They still do that?
I think so. They have really strict, color for the signs and stuff.
Is fine.
They can do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, I don't know about how much oversight is there going to be at this thing? Like, can it get out of control like the zone, like you're saying? Or are they going to have things there, like checks and balances?
Yeah.
But being right across from the high school might concern me a little bit.
Is it right across?
Well,
real close. Is it real close?
The main road going through, which I think is 89, the high school is on one side and this would be on the other side.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they like to, you know, it's like, of course you do this stuff by schools.
Yeah, right? I mean, I remember here in Flagstaff, like there was a new gas station going in close to a school and people were crazy about that because there was...
No, it's the liquor license. People were mad about the liquor license.
It's like,
but a homeless
station.
Camping or a pot shop is acceptable nowadays. Yeah, more, I don't know, strip clubs, I guess. He was talking about the how do you enforce these things. Unenforceable rules, they had, like, for the people who are going to be occupants of this park, don't smoke in your car. What, is someone going to be going around?
Yeah, and checking.
I mean, come on, this, right. Don't run your car engine for warmth or air conditioning. Well, I mean, I hope the city ain't liable if it's like a cold snap or if it's 100 degrees and all of a sudden, like, people are cooking. Don't leave trash. Don't leave your car once you are parked and inside it. What are they going to go around with, like, duct tape and duct tape these people in? This sounds like, okay. I got some safety concerns here.
The only other question I have, too, is, you know how, like, the homeless shelters, especially in a big city, and they're only open for the nighttime, the night shift or whatever you want to call it, and people start lining up all day. And basically just, you know, it's like first come, first serve. And so they start lining up. So is there going to be cars lined up there all day long to just so they can be one of the 40 that gets in there?
You bring up a point that maybe they didn't hear. I don't know. I should ask Dr. Noonan that because, yes, like I need my spot and there's only 40.
I can't let my spot.
So people are at the park and
there's
all of a sudden
all
these
cars. There's got to be more demand than 40 cars.
This is... I think
well,
this,
so then
this
what they'll do is,
idea.
Well, we need to expand it because we need more space.
We need more space. Yeah, we need double the space and more duct tape, apparently. Anyway, if you are in the city limits of Sedona, so this is a city issue, you have to sign the petition. Well, if you want to, unless you want to, you decide this. It's not my, it's not my neighborhood, I guess, but I would be a little...
I would sign it if I could.
I would be a little sketchy. Yeah. I might just go down there and sign it. Anyway, you can sign it Friday, April 5th, assuming we get through 4/4/24. Then I guess your problem's solved. You don't gotta worry. You can go sign it Friday, April 5th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And that's at Empire Nails, 140 Coffee Pot Drive, Suite E-105. It's in West Sedona near Bash's.
People familiar with Sedona will know where that is.
Again, Empire Nails, tomorrow, Friday, April 5th, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. They're doing the signing, because I think he's got to turn these in, like, next week.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he's saying.
He's
a couple hundred or something.
He said he has a website, so maybe if you can't make it on Friday, you can contact him through the website to sign it.
Yeah, just go in the park and start yelling. No, don't do that. Where's the website? SedonaVotes.com. Sedona, and this has this flyer up there with the address and everything if you missed it. SedonaVotes.com, SedonaVotes.com. I think this is an important issue because I think these are the things that this issue around the country, the unchecked, unmitigated immigration, illegal immigration that's happened is finally becoming a major, political item going forward here. So, these types of things. And then even once in a while, people talk about the unsustainable debt, but that's like, most people don't actually care about that.
Yeah.
Apparently. So anyway, get involved with that. SedonaVotes.com, SedonaVotes.com. All right. I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. If you want to get all new blinds, shutters, or shades for your house, deal with a company right here in Arizona. They service northern and central Arizona. So Sedona, maybe you're living right next to this. I think Dr. Mm-hmm. Noonan might be close. You may want to beef up your blinds. Do your neighbors a favor and, beef up those blinds and cover this stuff up. No, seriously, Blind Brothers, they have great blind shutters and shades. I know because Angela and I and Flagstaff got new blinds from them. No matter where you're at, Verde Valley, Prescott area, Flagstaff area, Sedona, call the Blind Brothers. Mention to Jeff Orbit, you'll get half off installation. The Blind Brothers, 928-634-2423. 928-634-2423. Or go to theblindbrothers.com. Okay, where'd we leave off? Do you know?
No.
I lost track now. I'll get there. We did last hour. We covered all the bills that Hobbs vetoed, and a bill that I don't know if it's going to make it to her, but there's a push right now at the Arizona legislature to lower the or continue the $3 difference for tipped workers. I talked about it, I think, yesterday. So minimum wage in the state, you can pay tipped workers less. So the restaurant owner can pay the tipped workers less. That may be heading to her desk, or maybe actually, I think this might go directly to the voters. I think that's what the push is. It did make it through the House, I guess. It has to go through the Senate. And that would make it so that this practice continues where you can pay tipped workers less than the $3 less than minimum wage. But be warned, I guess, proponents right now are out there. Remember how 15 was like the thing?
Yeah.
$15 an hour minimum wage. That's really like, that's like so 2019, right? That thing's gone.
Yeah.
Most people now that are pushing for higher minimum wages in the country are at the $20 to $25 range. I've even heard some really kooky politicians in D.C. Talk about $50.
Yeah, I heard somebody in California was saying $50.
$50 bill. I mean, could you imagine what that would do?
I don't want to quote or anything, but it was something like when asked, well, how could someone pay for that? And it was like, well, the business, you know, they just need to figure out how to figure it out. Yeah, they just need to.
I'm so smart.
Yeah. Basically that it's possible for people to pay that much. They just need to figure out how.
Because I'm a politician, when I want a raise, they just give me a raise and the money's created.
Something like that.
These people are totally clueless how the economy actually works. But watch out for this one, because a group is pushing for an $18 an hour minimum wage in Arizona, but it's actually, there's like a $2 bonus for certain employment. It's like some weird thing. They haven't gotten the signatures yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see that. And then you get that on there. You got the abortion. We talked about that last hour, how they've got 500,000 plus signatures. This thing's good. I knew this was going to make it on the ballot.
Yeah.
You could have a scroll. This ballot, this is going to be amazing to watch, because I don't think we have ever seen the size or length of the ballot we're about to see, because what the legislature is doing, the Arizona legislature, is bypassing Hobbs's veto stamp and going directly to the voters with multiple issues.
Right. So just like circumventing the conventional process.
Exactly. So it's an interesting way to do it. I get why they're doing it, but also there might be some serious voter fatigue on a lot of these issues, and people just start, no.
Or yes.
$20 an hour minimum wage. Yeah. Abortion
well,
on demand, basically.
Well, the thing with the minimum wage, too, is that it's just, it's been dominoing across the nation this works here, and this city did it, and this state did it, and then we did it again, and it got higher, and all the, they're all just going for the same thing, and they're just going to keep doing it. It's just going to keep going up and up and up.
I agree. And here we are. Round and round we go. A lot of it starts in California. I guess on Monday, was that August 1st? Monday, California went to 20. So their minimum, they actually... Flagstaff was one of the highest minimum. Look up what Flagstaff's minimum wage is. I always forget. Flagstaff was one of the highest minimum wages in the nation. I believe it's 18 something, but Angela's checking on
that. It
is
18 something, but I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, look it up exactly. On Monday, California went to $20 per hour. $20 per hour is the minimum wage. So no matter what you're doing, that's it. And I think about that, and it's like, that's $25, $26 an hour to the business owner. By the time you figure in the matching Social Security, people don't realize that 7.7% that they kick in, plus all the comp, workers' comp, all the insurance costs and this and that, gets to a point where it gets really hard to, we were talking last hour about there's no more baggers at a lot of places.
Yeah.
How could you hire a bagger when it costs you $26 an hour?
Right.
That used to be like the starting kind of jobs for people.
Yeah. This AZ Central is saying it's $17.40. I don't know why I thought it was 18. Maybe because you kept saying that.
Yeah, fake news. I just spread the...
Okay.
It will be 18 soon, though. So.
As of January 1st of this year.
Okay, 17.
It was 1740.
1740, okay.
I think it was 1680 before that.
And now it's 1740 in Flagstaff. And I think Tucson has their own minimum wage, too. And what's Arizona's minimum wage?
And right now you're talking about the tipped workers.
Yeah.
So... that is $15.90 right now, so it's $1.50 less
in Flag.
Yeah,
yeah, but Flag has a different thing than the state.
Yeah,
yeah, but anyway, there's that push to go to the 18 or 20, and that would mean Flagstaff would then, if Flagstaff was 17 now, I think they have to be $2 higher than the state wage, so you could see a $22 an hour minimum wage in Flagstaff if this thing makes it. And it's not there yet. They're still good. This is still in the early stages, but we'll see. One thing that's interesting about the California thing is the politically connected seem to always get a kind of a good deal or a better deal than, you know, just us regular folk. There's an exception in the California minimum wage that you can pay less. And I forgot to write down how much less it was, but it was a couple dollars less per hour. If you're a bakery, there's a bakery exception because,
yeah,
you know, bakeries can't really afford to pay 20. Everybody else can, you know, sweeping a floor, bagging groceries, you know, doing this, whatever. Everybody, you can. I mean, if you are just like a small business owner and you have one, two, three employees, I mean, you can do that. But if you're a billionaire, Gavin Newsom buddy, who owns a bunch of Panera Bread companies, you know, that's the place where they make like the sandwiches and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they have a bakery. It's Panera Bread and Bakery. It's had bread in it.
Yeah, no,
right?
They have, but they have baked goods like muffins
Well,
cookies and stuff.
What I'm reading is they got an exception on the bakery clause to pay less. Okay. And, it, you know, and
I thought there was something with like over 500 or something work, like a certain amount of workers.
Yeah. Well, maybe he didn't get it then, but that's what I was reading earlier. But there's a why would you have a bakery exemption? Why would you have, if you're so convinced that the minimum wage should truly be $20 an hour because you can't survive on that, how can you single out as a governor or as these politicians, except for Angela's business?
Yeah. Exactly.
Because those people don't need to make enough. Yeah. Why? Their housing costs are, gas is less for them. Do they get a discount on gas? Do they get a discount on housing? That doesn't even make sense just from an honest, like intellectually being, they're being intellectually dishonest here when they say crap like that.
The whole thing is intellectually dishonest because raising the minimum wage will only raise the price of goods even more. And then the people that are making minimum wage will just have to pay more for their goods.
Yeah.
And so their raise in wages is just going to be, I mean, a net zero probably.
Or worse,
you factor in how they're going to have to pay more for their groceries, their gas, their whatever.
I wish I had saved some of the, and maybe they're out, I'm sure they're out there, some of the interviews I did back in like 2014 when the proponents of the Flagstaff minimum wage were out, you know, pounding how this is going to be so good. And I said, yeah, this is going to be good for about 6 to 12 months until price inflation catches up. And then the wage increase is null and void, just what you're talking about. I mean, I wasn't the only one out there, but me and several others were out there like saying, this is what's going to happen. You're going to have inflation. And we also warned about, well, what if you get to a more an economically troubling time and all of a sudden, you know, everybody's business owners are forced to pay a higher amount and people are just losing their jobs. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten to that point. But all the price inflation has wiped out anything. It helps for a short term. And it usually that's all the politicians want because the short term is what they need to get back in office. Mm-hmm. And then they'll say, well, yeah, we did do 15, but now it needs to be 20. Now it needs to be 25.
Well, that's what I was saying is now when they get stuff and it keeps passing and passing and passing, they're just going to keep doing it over and over and keep raising it. And even though you said like it'll help in the short term, which it did when our minimum wage here in Flagstaff kind of first went up, they all have warning or not warning. They have an amount now as of September or October the year before that this is what's going to be raised to in January. So they have advanced timing to change their menu prices and they're prepared for January, come January 1st. Okay. I'm going to be paying X amount of dollars more and we got to raise our prices on whatever, you know, books or food or candy bars at the grocery store, at the gas station or whatever. And so they have some leeway time. So there's no longer the, you know, well, it's got to catch up because they're all prepared now, January. I mean, we've seen it. We were in a restaurant
a
couple years ago. It was like December 30th or December 31st. And they already had new menus for January 1st. And it was funny because there was five of us there, I think. And some of us got the old menu and some got the new menu and it was exactly the same except for the prices. And so then we had to question, well, which one is right? And they said, oh, the higher priced one is for January 1st.
Yeah. It was a lot.
So they all know it's coming and they get prepared for it.
So last time we went out for dinner.
Yeah. So January 1st, you're making more money, But that's the same day that all the prices go up, too.
No, you make a good point.
It's not even, they don't even have that short-term gain.
Initially, I don't think they hit it, but they learned the system.
Oh, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying is like now, 6 cents, whatever, 8 years later, they all know it's coming. They know what it's going to be.
Well, because the increase is based off of CPI, Consumer Price Index, and you can look back and you can figure out where it's going to be.
Yeah.
And by time you're into printing your menus, for example, in December, you know exactly how much they're going to be raising.
Because they base it off of the CPI in August, I believe, of
so
the year before.
You're good to go.
So they have 4 months after that to prepare for the new wage.
Maybe they need a financial planner or somebody to look at all this stuff. So I'm going to encourage these politicians to give Glenn Lees the call. Actually, I'm sorry, Glenn. That he'd be like, please don't. Maybe they need some better planning and some like just what I like about Glenn Lees at WT Wealth Management, he'll talk with you and just go over some of the basics sometimes, like what's a stock, what's a bond, you know. But if you're already at that level, you know, he's not going to do that. But he likes to, you know, if you're new to investing maybe and try to tailor it to your kind of level. I've seen him do that here on the program and where you're at. Call Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management. Listen back to the show on Tuesday. He was on, gave a big update in the second hour, a big, you know, economic and investing update, all that stuff. Give him a call, Glenn Least. At WT Wealth Management, 928-225-2474. That's 928-225-2474. Or you can email Glenn, G-L-E-E-S-T, G-Least, at WTWealthManagement.com. There was another, like, near miss with a, this is from Fox Business, FAA investigating a possible close call between Southwest Airlines jet and the air traffic control tower.
Ooh.
You know, like Top Gun buzzing the tower type of thing. I guess this happened on March 23rd around 1 p.m. Air traffic controller instructed the crew of Flight 147, a Southwest Airlines flight. This was in LaGuardia, you know, in New York. They said you need, it was like foggy and all that and inclement weather. They said do a go-around. And go-around, you're coming in and you're kind of close to touching down, but you don't, and you go back up and go around. I guess he buzzed the tower. That's what they're saying. It was,
wow.
Yeah, a close one. Something went wrong there. It just kind of piles up, you know. It's just like we see these things. And, you know, we had Bruce Sidlinger on talking about this. And then we had someone write in
that we
talked about
that
yesterday. And she's like, well, wait, we have the best training. And, you know, this is, and I think I would agree with that.
Yeah.
That we have the best trained pilots, you know, in the world right here in the U.S., and the best standards, but something has changed. I mean,
for sure,
looking at the data. So yeah, that's sketchy. I always get a little nervous, even though I've flown a lot, when you come down in the fog.
Well,
you're like, oh, that's tough.
And I just wonder if it has anything to do with more people flying and using plane travel as their mode of transportation.
Maybe.
And a lot of the airports are older, and maybe we've just outgrown that model and we just need to, I don't know, like change some dynamic.
Yeah, our airports have been quite antiquated. I don't know how much they've upgraded
the planes have gotten bigger.
Yeah.
And, you know, but have the airports and have the runways and have the distance between the terminal and the runways and the tower and stuff.
And there's 10,000 people up in the air at any, or planes, not people, but 10,000 planes up in the air at like any given one, you know, given time.
Yeah.
There's a ton of, you know, it's crazy when you traveling now versus, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago, the planes are packed. There used to be a time when you go and you could almost go wander around and find a few seats to lay on because they were just running all these routes that didn't make sense. And the planes are half empty. I haven't seen that in years. They've gotten much better about that. So there's tons of people flying right now. All right, get a rock chip in your windshield. Call Diamond Auto Glass first. Make sure you take care of that real quick. They'll fix your rock chip, get that fixed. They'll fix the, well, they can't fix it, but they can replace the whole windshield for you as well if it's cracked. And there's no fixing that. You got to get a new windshield. Go to Diamond Auto Glass on 4th Street in Flagstaff. Check them out online at thedifferenceisclear.com. If you've been thinking about, or maybe you've got an old jalopy trailer, and I know this isn't everybody out there, like Angela, if I was talking to her, it'd be like, I don't need a trailer. I don't want a trailer. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But, right? You don't want, actually, you need to start driving the dump trailer I got from American Trailer Company. I have this vision of you going and loading up the wood chips while I it back there, and I spread it with the tractor. You ready for that?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, we're going to do it. It's good for you to learn how to use our trailer from American Trailer Company. Dump trailers, flatbed trailers, cargo trailers, right outside of the city of Flagstaff, which means no city sales tax. And they also try to be right around the same price or even lower than Phoenix. You don't got to drive for a trailer. You're in the Verde Valley. You're in Prescott even. Come on up to Flagstaff, north of Flagstaff, right on 89. American Trailer Company, American Trailer Company. You can get more info at AmericanTrailerAZ.com. By the way, if you tell them J.O. Show, when you buy a in-stock item like a trailer or hitch and things like that, could be as on the lower end of hitch, on the high end of trailer, J.O. Show. It's pretty easy to remember. And 6% off. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a good deal. Good. Take advantage of that.
Adds up.
AmericanTrailerAZ.com. Back in a minute. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe. Look up the Jeff Orbit Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there. And on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
You're listening to the Jeff Orbit Show.
I continue to keep tabs on this Baltimore Bridge thing. Mm-hmm. The bridge that came back down when the barge hit it. Because I want to see how quick it takes to clear it. And I mean, they're still saying weeks, maybe months. I mean, this is a major thing. But I guess the latest, the largest crane ship on the East Coast arrived to clear the bridge wreckage. I guess they did a path to get through part of it. Mm-hmm. The port's still closed, I guess. But now they have this huge crane ship there that's they're trying to
get rid of the old bridge parts,
yeah.
Okay.
And pick it out.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a long process, but I'm just interested to watch how this happens. More election updates here. You know, Monday was the deadline for candidates to put in their signature petitions and to turn that in. The city of I hit on the legislative ones yesterday and the day before, and the congressional ones. A local one would be the city of Flagstaff. They have a council. They have six council seats, one mayor, so 7-member body there. And every 2 years, there's 3 members up. And last time, was it last election, 2022, where there wasn't enough members?
Yeah, there was only two, I believe,
yeah,
for the 3 seats.
And then they had to appoint someone, something like that.
Or they were trying to get a write-in or something.
Yeah,
and then
I think
that the person who won for the mayor of Flagstaff had to resign from her council seat.
So they were
having to appoint one for that. But then they were also trying for either a write-in or an appointment for the third one that no one ran for.
Okay. Well, now there's, like I said, 3 seats up. 15 people pulled papers.
Oh, really?
15 people. We're all excited about running to be on council, and probably because they get paid so much.
Yeah, they increase the salary.
This body, or the previous one, during COVID, when you couldn't even go into City Hall, you couldn't even go there. You had to watch it online, yeah, and like you couldn't speak to these, you know, people on the tower there, right? You couldn't even get to them. They voted themselves in, or at least the next council. And a lot of times, incumbents re-win elections. So, in my opinion, they're voting themselves a raise. They voted themselves a raise when I was down there in 2012 to 2016, and until just a couple of years ago, the pay was $24,000 a year for a council position. And you know, it's about a 20-hour a week job if you're doing it and doing a good job.
Doing it right.
Some people just showed up at the meeting and you could tell they didn't even read the packet, but whatever. Anyway, it's 20 hour. It's a part-time gig. It's community service, right. Really.
And some weeks are probably more than others.
Yeah,
and
there's some things. Yeah. You go out and you got to, you know, meet somebody with an issue, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, it's a big deal. But at 24, I was like, okay, that's fine.
I wasn't doing it for a career or anything,
you know? So anyway, they voted during COVID to increase the pay of the next council and some of their own to like $44,650. And then in December of this year, so when the new council, one of these, and I'll get to it here, one of these folks, three people who are running, will get $63,800 a year. So almost $64,000 a year for what is essentially a part-time job. The mayor's salaries went up from $36,000. And then during COVID, they voted themselves a big pay. They should have sent this to the voters.
Yeah,
I can't believe they voted on this themselves.
Yeah.
It went from $36,000 to 54,000. And now the new mayor, effective December 1st, the new council and mayor will be sworn in, will get $70,000 a year.
Yeah.
To be the mayor of Flagstaff.
And I remember being flabbergasted that they could even do that.
Yeah, that they
like
could vote themselves.
Who gets to vote themselves a raise?
It's absurd.
Because any other person you ask out there would just laugh in your face if you said, hey, can you go into work tomorrow and just vote? And they're just like, hey, we're calling a vote.
We're calling a vote.
Who wants to raise our salaries?
Yeah.
And then on top of that, not only is that a high wage for what I believe is a part-time job or should be a part-time job. I know they're arguing that they want to make it full-time.
No, please don't.
But there's a lot of benefits that come with that package, too. And I don't know what that would cost if you were to add all that in.
A lot.
But, yeah, when you get matching retirement funds, you get health care, you get dental, you get, you know, travel, you get, I don't know, how many other thousands of dollars in a year.
Yeah, there's travel expenses in here. The health care. Yeah, I forgot about all that because we had dental coverage when I was on council, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like now.
It's like the one time ever in our married life we've ever had dental coverage.
I have dental coverage now. It's the fund that I fund ourselves. What is it called? The health savings account.
That's our dental.
Yeah, that's our dental. Thanks.
Well, for that 4 years that you were there, we had dental. Yeah.
Did I do any work? I should have. I don't think I needed anything. No. It's like the day after they booted me out, I needed a root canal.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they get all. I would say the mayor's position is probably full burden. You know what it's costing. It's got to be close to $100,000 or more. It's six figures that's costing the taxpayers, right? Okay, well, the new mayor will be the old mayor because nobody else challenged the incumbent. Who's the mayor? Mayor Becky Daggett. Nobody challenged, and she got enough signatures, or at least turned in. There's still an appeal process, not appeal, but you could contest or challenge.
Yeah.
They verify. They don't really verify. They look at it and real quick and flip through it. There's no real verification
as evidenced by the one guy who literally filled out all his. Well, not all.
He was running for mayor council.
He filled out. I don't know how many papers of his own nomination petition, and it was all in the same handwriting. It was so clear that it was forged stuff, and that didn't get caught.
Yeah,
when he turned those in.
Page after page in the same exact writing. It was like 123 Main Street, 124 Main Street.
They didn't catch it. Yeah. Someone had to challenge it to get that thrown out.
Legally, he got into some issues with that.
But he did, but my point is he turned it in, and they were going to put him on the ballot because they didn't even look at it.
Yeah, they just like, maybe they suspected
couldn't have
something.
Or else they would have called him on it.
Okay, April 15th is the challenge date for these things if someone's going to challenge signatures. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's statewide for legislative and congressional positions as well. We'll see what happens there, but these are probably, so she's going to be on the ballot would be my guess. So that election's over. You get the same person. I really don't know her actually. She's been on maybe once. So been kind of quiet. So 15 people pulled papers in Flagstaff to run for three
council
positions. Only six turned in enough signatures.
Oh,
so it looked cool until you had to get all those signatures, I guess. It's tough.
That's a commitment to get signatures. That many good signatures.
Well, one of the incumbents did not get enough signatures. Deb Harris.
Really?
She didn't get enough signatures, apparently. And one other incumbent, Miranda Sweet, did. So that means that out of the six, you've got one incumbent seat, which is very hard to turn over. So she'll probably get back in. And then you've got what we'd call two open seats. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's three open seats technically, but two seats up for grabs,
with
really.
A new name.
Yeah. So the other people who made it is Amethyst Deasy. That's former mayor Flagstaff Paul Deasy, his wife. And he came by. He was collecting signatures
a
couple weeks ago. Anthony Garcia. Name sounds familiar. Dennis Givens, David Spence, and Robert Bruinig. That name sounds familiar as well. Huh. So don't know. It used to be you'd have... Traditionally, on these council races in Flagstaff, you'd have three more left-leaning liberal folks. It's nonpartisan, but it always broke into camps.
Yeah.
You had three liberals and three conservatives, and generally speaking, the three liberals always won, but it usually broke into camps. I don't know if there's any I don't know where they are in the political spectrum. It's
either.
Hard to tell.
Yeah.
There was a push to make some of the races in Arizona partisan to try to help us out in identifying this, but we're going to have to do our research. And maybe I'll have them all in. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see if we want to go that route.
I wonder how Amethyst Deasy will fare if the name, the last name will help her or hurt her, because
DZ was one term,
but then he lost in his reelection.
Yeah. So yeah, how does that? How does that vote? I mean, I don't know.
Who knows? People might not even remember at that point.
Yeah. Maybe I should have them all come on, and then I'll let you guys determine if they're, you know, flaming left or far right or somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do we get middle anymore? You're picking. You're guessing.
Guess. No doubt in my mind. Sure, they're all on the same.
One more for Yavapai County. Former state representative David Stringer, name you're probably familiar with. Mm-hmm. He was a former state representative, and then he's run for some other positions since. I think he resigned from the legislature. Some, you know, these accusations came up from back in the 80s or something about sexual misconduct. I can't remember at the top of my head of all the, you know, he denies the stuff, and mm-hmm. then something was expunged back in the day. But he is running for Yavapai County attorney against the current, I mean, I guess you can call this guy the incumbent, but he was appointed when I think it was Polk that resigned. And so he got appointed by the Yavapai County Board of Supervisors. Dennis McGrain is the current Yavapai County attorney, and David Stringer, who, like I said, has been in the legislature in the past and was very controversial, has put his name in the hat to go in that race. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
We'll see how that pans out. One more here. Yavapai County Board of Supervisors voted 4-1 to not make Yavapai County a sanctuary county. So they made it a non-sanctuary county. You don't like that? I think I like that. That's cool. That's good.
Well, you hate it when they do the sanctuary counties, but you like it when they do the non-sanctuary counties?
Well, non-sanctuary counties would be just following the law. I mean, aren't you supposed to follow, you know, immigration law and this and that? You think it's a waste of time?
I don't think they should have either. I mean, neither one should be a thing at all.
Well, how about we just enforce the border laws? And, and then the people who are illegally, we just say, sorry, you got to go back.
Yeah.
Here you go. You know, we'll walk you to the border.
Yeah. I just don't think bus that either one something. Should be a thing at all.
Yavapai County is a non-sanctuary county. I don't know if Coconino County ever voted on it. They would probably be a sanctuary county because Coconino and Yavapai are polar opposites.
And maybe I'm just thinking, like, does it really have to be official, or you just make it known that if you're here illegally,
it's just
you're
a resolution.
Gonna, yeah, I know, but I mean...
It's a proclamation.
Do they really have to...
Yeah.
Make it so formal, except to just, I mean, they could, it seems to me like they could just make it known that.
I don't mind it. I just don't, because the sanctuary cities like New York and, you know, many places in California, they made such a big deal about it. And now we have, you know, so many illegals have swarmed in, millions, 7 million under, whatever the number is, it's ridiculous, because they flaunted to the world that we are a sanctuary city, just get to us. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be fine. And they flooded in. So I think a lot of that effort really prompted the open borders, open, you know, porous borders with the welfare state. And then cities that were actually out there saying, we're a sanctuary city. You get here. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. We're good to go. Right. So actually, I'm against you here on this one. I'd like Yavapai County saying we're a non-sanctuary county, because then it maybe puts people because The illegals come in and they're all connected. They either have the smartphone or they're giving it to them, you know, as they come across the border practically.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a map on there that says, yeah, don't go to Yavapai County.
Yeah.
Coconino, though, or I don't know if Coconino is a sanctuary, but you know what I mean.
I'm not saying, I'm not like against them being that. I guess I'm just against the whole pomp and circumstance of the whole thing. Just
gets hard, though, because
you just follow the law. And
I agree with you, but you're always fighting against the other side that are always pomp and certain, you know, they're always doing this crap. Yeah. And I guess that's contrary to what I'm saying about, I don't want any more days.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what I mean. They did like, do we really need to
transgender day of whatever that fell on Easter this year. And you're like, oh, now I feel like, and Trump came out and said he's going to have, you know, a day for a Christian day or something like that. Right. I mean, it's just, so then it's just becomes tit for tat.
It just becomes like a bickering back and forth. Yeah. And like, well, I don't like your
sanctuary
thing.
But we got to stand our ground. I mean, we got to stand our ground.
I know, but we're doing the same thing that we're accusing them of, you know, politicizing every nook and cranny of every
Yeah, it's all been politicized. What do you all think out there? Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Try to get you on tomorrow's show on that one. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Hey, go out to Timberline Firearms and Training. Rob Wilson was on Monday. He told me they got an all new, not an all new, a big shipment of, ammo, but safes.
Oh, right.
So you
can
store your ammo. Yeah. He's concerned about ammo, by the way, because government really controls that supply and they're tightening up and holding it.
Yeah.
So he said he's buying a bunch of stuff and, you know, he was like, it might not be a bad, you know, decision. Remember what happened during COVID? The cost of ammo?
Yeah.
You know, it's gone crazy. Go out to Timberline Firearms and Training. They got safes. They've got ammunition. They've got accessories. They got firearms plus the indoor shooting range and all kinds of training courses just for you. Call them up 928-526-7900. That's 928-526-7900. Or take a quick drive 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall and visit Timberline Firearms and Training. Listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe, look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there, and on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, that's it for today. Don't forget about the signing event tomorrow in Sedona if you're against this, if you want to at least get it on the ballot. It's homeless camp in Sedona. Info at SedonaVotes.com, SedonaVotes.com. Weekly roundup tomorrow. I think we'll survive. I think we will survive 4/4/24 and almost certainly 4/8/24. Maybe. Yeah. Hope so.
I hope
you all have a great, safe night. Take care. See you soon. The information provided on the Jeff Horvitz Show does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and guests. You should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Hey, if you're listening to the podcast, please give us a great review and also give us a comment in there. If you're not listening to the podcast, subscribe, look up the Jeff Horvitz Show. Also on video, Rumble, follow us there, and on YouTube, subscribe. We appreciate everyone who's done that.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Hey, this is Jeff Horvitz, and if you're looking for a home for rent in the Flagstaff area, check out our full inventory of 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes at flagstaff4lease.com. That's Flagstaff, the number 4, lease.com. We also have office space available. A one-room suite goes for about $299 per month. Larger spaces are available. Go to flagstaff4lease.com to check availability of our homes and office space for rent. Flagstaff4lease.com is an equal housing opportunity.